Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Blaustein, and today we're going to be studying Nehemiah chapter 5. In chapter 3, Nehemiah described the grand realization of his mission, ostensibly. He gathered the people and assigned them each a section of Jerusalem's walls to rebuild. And they do so. And the people's hearts are fully in it. In chapter 4, Sanballat and his gang threaten the project. The builders are definitely impacted by this threat, but Nehemiah ensures that precautions are taken to arm the builders and ensure a 24-hour watch. Sanballat and his folks retreat, and the building project resumes. What you would expect to follow next in the narrative is some more information in this chapter about the building project, some formal conclusion regarding the work. But instead, chapter 5 seems to go completely off topic on a tangent, describing the tragic reality facing the Judeans during this time period. The chapter opens with verse 1, Vatehi tzakat ha'am uneshehem gdola el acheihem hayehudim. There was a great outcry by the common folk and their wives against their brother Jews. The antagonists in this tragic situation are Jews against Jews. The next verse continues to describe what exactly the issue is. V'yesha she'omrim banenu uvnotenu anachnu rabim, v'nikcha dagan v'nochla v'nechyeh. Some said, our sons and daughters are numerous. We must get grain to eat in order that we may live. V'yesha she'omrim stotenu uchramenu uvatenu anachnu orvim, v'nikcha dagan bara'av. Others said, we must pawn our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain to save off hunger. Others said, we have borrowed money against our fields and vineyards to pay the king's tax. And then, as if to sum everything up in verse 5, V'yata, kivsar achenu psarenu kivnehem, banenu, v'hine anachnu kovshim et banenu v'et benotenu la'avadim, v'yesh mibnotenu nechbashot. Now, we should be as good as our fellow brothers and our children as good as theirs. And yet here we are, subjecting our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters are already subjected, and we are powerless, while our fields and vineyards belong to others. As you read these verses describing the difficult economic situation, each verse makes you wonder, can it get any worse than this? And then it does. As the verses progress, it's not just that people are having trouble making a living. It's not just that people are pawning their fields and their homes to buy food. It's not just that they're taking out loans against their property, but it climaxes in verse 5. We're selling our children into indentured servitude. So the economic situation in Judea is so difficult that in order to pay Persian taxes and survive, Jews were resorting to pawning their fields, vineyards, and homes, borrowing money against their property to pay the king's taxes, and then, left in a situation where they're not able to pay the debt, not only are their properties being seized, but their sons and daughters were becoming indentured servants to work off the debt. Now, the Torah says that it's illegal to take interest, but pawning possessions is technically okay. In Sefer Shmot chapter 22, verse 4, it says, Im kesef talve et ami, et he'ani imach lo tie lo kinoshe, lo tisimun alav neshech. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, don't act as a creditor. Don't take interest from them. Keep in mind, this situation is described as Jew versus Jew, and clearly, this halakha was not being taken seriously during this time period. Now, it's possible that chronologically, this situation is going on during the building project, and perhaps the people's outcry is against Nehemiah, since, after all, he did divert manpower away from the farms outside the city of Jerusalem and brought all the people in to work on the walls of Jerusalem. Maybe they're blaming their crop's failure on Nehemiah. But we'll learn later on that although it spans two chapters, repairing the wall only took about 52 days. And the dire situation the people are describing of crops failing and children being indentured servitude is many months in the making. So it seems likely that the buildup of this desperate economic situation has been happening for quite some time. But within the book of Nehemiah, we're only being told about it now. It's almost like we're meant to feel super excited at the end of chapter 3 when the walls are finished. Wow, what a great climax. Finally, the prophecy of Yeshayahu has been fulfilled. Achomotayach Yerushalayim efkadetim shomrim kol hayom v'chol halayla. God's placing his guards on the gates night and day. And then we hear about the difficulties that the Jews faced externally from Sanballat in chapter 4. And so our emotions are somewhat tempered. And then in chapter 5, we learn about the difficulties that the Judeans of this time period faced internally with the tragic economic situation. And it's kind of like that balloon that's slowly losing air doesn't just fizzle, it pops. The book of Nehemiah is tugging us emotionally in this narrative organization, and it's causing us to wonder the same thing the people were probably wondering as well. Really? This is the grand realization of the Nevuah of Yeshayahu? This is Ge'ulah? Because it sure doesn't feel that way. I thought Ge'ulah would be amazing and wonderful, and I would feel God's hand constantly on my life. This situation is really hard. That emotion that we're meant to experience, that deflation, is exactly what the people were probably feeling at that time. Nehemiah's strategy to deal with this situation is to gather together the elite, rich class of Judeans, presumably the ones who were profiting off of the losses of the lower class. Remember when I said that Ezra and Nehemiah are linked and quite similar in style? Nehemiah does the same thing that Ezra did when he faced the issue of foreign marriages. Nehemiah invites everybody to a public assembly, and Nehemiah says to the nobles, accusing them incredulously in front of a large crowd. In verse 7, Masha ish be'achav atem noshim, va'etein alehem kihila gdola. Are you pressing claims on loans made to your brothers? Then I raised a large crowd against them. And then, in the next verse, he includes himself and criticizes himself as well. Anachnu kaninu et achenu ha-Yehudim ha-nimkrim la-goyim k'dei banu, v'gam atem timkru et achechem v'nimkru lanu, v'yacharishu v'lo matzu davar. He said to them, we have done our best to buy back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the nations. Will you now sell your brothers so that they must be sold back to us? And the nobles are silent, and they don't say anything in response. The situation that Nehemiah describes is even more tragic than we originally thought. It seems that the nobles were not only seizing the Judeans as indentured servants, but they were then participating in a slave trade, selling the Judeans to foreigners. By accusing the nobles in front of everybody, by including himself in the censure, and by doing so in front of a kehila gedola, a large crowd that could potentially turn into an angry mob at any moment, Nehemiah is forcing the nobles to answer and to take immediate action. Nehemiah also shows a degree of empathy for the nobles by including himself in this accusation. After all, he is a noble. He's the Pecha, the Persian governor. In the face of this accusation, the nobles are silent. And then Nehemiah takes it one step further. He proclaims a release of the property and the debt, sort of a yovel. He says in verse 11, Hashivu na lahem kahayom, stotehem, karmehem, zetehem, uvatehem, umata kesef hadagan hatirosh v'hayitzar ashem atem noshim bahem. Give back at once the fields, the vineyards, the olive trees, the homes, and abandon any debts that you have, the grain, the wine, the oil that you have been pressing against them. Incredibly, the nobles agree, and they swear an oath that they will release their claims to all of the money that's owed to them. Nehemiah also declares that as the governor, despite the fact that he is entitled to taxes from the Jews living in this area, for the 12 years that he served as Pecha, he ensured that he didn't profit from any public funds and that he paid his servants out of his own funds. The chapter at this point seems to switch to sound almost like a memoir, as Nehemiah seems to be reflecting on this time period, and it concludes with what seems like a prayer, familiar words at this point, Zachrali Elokai Litova, Kol Asher Asiti Al Ha'am Hazeh. O Hashem, remember favorably all that I have done for this people. Malbim, in his commentary on this verse, seems to suggest that Nehemiah is begging Hashem to remember the people favorably. But the straightforward reading of this prayer seems to present Nehemiah begging that Hashem remember him favorably, perhaps implying that years later, when Nehemiah reflects on this episode and is writing his memoir, he wonders, did he do the right thing? Did he handle this situation correctly? And it encourages us to think as well. In the short term, creating a release of debt, creating a Shemitah year, probably pleased the common Jews, the poorer Jews. But undoubtedly, it probably caused the nobles to resent Nehemiah. It maybe even created for Nehemiah more enemies. This private prayer seems to be a purposeful show of vulnerability. Nehemiah is presenting these events for us to consider, laying it out in front of us, so that we too can weigh the options alongside him, and begs us to consider and to empathize just how difficult a situation it was for the Jews during this time period, and how even the decision to tell the nobles to release the debts and claims to the land was really a fraught decision. The word used in this prayer, Zechra, remember, is a word that I've noted repeats many times throughout the book of Nehemiah. As Nehemiah continues to provide a window into this complicated time period and preserve it for us to consider. As we've seen in this chapter, the building project is interrupted with a description of the fraught economic situation of this time period, no doubt caused by the fact that Judah must pay taxes to the Persian government. Nehemiah solved this situation by calling all the people together and encouraging the nobles to do a Shemitah, a release of their debts. The chapter ends with Nehemiah's heartfelt prayer to Hashem, hoping that he did the right thing. In the next chapter, our focus will return to the newly finished repaired walls surrounding Jerusalem. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat Rose Forman, Rachel Bracha Bat Aryeh Lieb, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.